It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I do nothing.
Oh, oh,
down the line. Look at it go. IT3.
Oh, Jokic again said, wait, coach, that is not fair. I shouldn't have to be out there trying to stop that guy.
IT is in Denver. It's Stokely and Zach. I'm Rod Sharon in for Zach. Bye. Stoke, we're here at the Blake Street Tavern and just down the street at the Pepsi Center this season. Just a year ago, an MVP candidate, Isaiah Thomas, is now a Denver Nugget.
How about that? That's great news. Looking for some depth there at the point guard position. And you got a guy, like you said, a couple years ago that was, you know.
He's an MVP candidate.
You're looking at a top 10-ish type of player. And you get him to be a backup on a minimum deal. You can't go wrong with that move by the Nuggets.
Boy, it came down late last night, just somewhat out of nowhere. Hadn't really heard the Nuggets linked with Isaiah Thomas. They had an opening for a backup point guard, and these last few years they've liked veteran backup point guards, you know, Devin Harris, Jameer Nelson. They've liked that mold. I don't know if anybody saw Isaiah Thomas coming. He has a connection with Michael Malone. We understand that's part of it as well. But, boy, think about the last, 12, 16 months for Isaiah Thomas. He goes from Boston Celtics conference finals, leading them, you know, basically he was kind of doing the LeBron thing against LeBron, one versus the world kind of thing, trying to beat him by himself. Then he has the hip injury, no contract, Cleveland, LA, long story. And now here he is for $2 million.
Yeah, you can't beat it. I mean, it's a low risk, high reward type of move. And for them, you're looking at depth. You're looking for veteran presence, still a very young roster. And I think he adds everything that you need. You get a veteran presence, a guy that's played in big games for $2 million. You can't beat that in the NBA. So obviously a really, really good move by the Nuggets to get a guy like that for the price that they got him for. I think, you know, not only will he be able to contribute on the court. You've seen some of these additions that, you know, that you're not going to get a whole lot of benefits on the court from. You know, Jefferson last year.
Mike Miller.
And they just provided that veteran presence. But they're not giving you anything on the court. But
I think Isaiah, they're looking Thomas, for a little more from Isaiah on the court.
He is going to give you something on the court. And he will be a good player for you this year. And he provides that veteran presence there to help out the other young players.
ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski broke it last night. He was in Vegas at a summer league game. Here is Adrian Wojnarowski on the Nugget signing of Isaiah Thomas.
1 year, $2 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. He'll be the backup point guard. Mike Malone, the Nuggets coach, coached him in Sacramento. They talked this week. Tim Connelly, their vice president of basketball operations, met with Isaiah along with Malone. And then they've been talking, texting. He needs an opportunity to show he can get healthy again and maybe get back out on the free agent market next year. But this is a tremendous opportunity with a team that expects to be in the playoffs this year. I texted with Isaiah tonight. He's excited for the chance to play for Malone again and play for a team that's a playoff contender in the West.
Expects to be in the playoffs.
They should.
Expects to be in the West. Is expecting to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked a few weeks ago with Zach, I had them. I thought they were going to be a 6 seed. And now I think with additions that they've made, some of the subtractions that they made,
you're looking at possibly
a fourth or fifth seed, even in the West. This team is on the rise, and they got some good young pieces. They got some good veteran presence for backups. They got quality depth, really quality depth with this basketball team. So some really, really good moves being made by the Nuggets here in the last, you know, month or so. I like the direction that they're heading, and it's going to be exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have to make a few extra games this year.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes.
All right.
No Carmelo, thank goodness. No Carmelo. I know you've been disappointed. You got – what are those on your feet?
I got some Mellos on.
You got Mellos on your feet today. Well, you know it's a wrap. You know that's not going to happen now. And so what is this just like?
You know, they kind of look like Rockets colors, you know, if you look at them. So
is that destination for Carmelo?
I think so.
I like those shoes, by the way.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Those got to be classics. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody wear them.
Might even be from the Nuggets tenure. All right. So I'm Ron Sharon in for Zach. Stokely and Zach.
The Mellos.
Stoke.
Looking good.
Isaiah Thomas is here now. You have to imagine coming off the bench, they were looking to replace some scoring punch of Will Barton, who I'm assuming is moving into a starting lineup this year with that new contract.
Well, yes.
Wilson Chandler gone. So Isaiah Thomas, hey, look, NBA season, it's a long season. You're going to have nights where you need some scoring punch off the bench. Is that enough to push this team past where, look, they were the ninth seed a year ago. A team below them that was below in the standings, Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know if you caught the news. They happened to add this guy named LeBron James this offseason.
I didn't see that. I missed that.
Yeah, they added him. There's this whole mural in L.A. It was up for a day, and then it got defaced. It's already gone. Is this enough, along with the improvement
Typical
of their guys,
LA.
To jump guys? Because you got to jump teams now if you're going to get in, if you're Denver. Have you jumped Minnesota? Have you jumped Utah? Have you jumped Portland? Have you jumped San Antonio, Oklahoma City, some of the teams that finished in front of you?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you look at Minnesota and obviously just missed out, had the last game of the season and lost to them on the road. But, you know, you look at their roster, and there's some uncertainty there. There's some uncertainty with that roster and what they're going to be doing moving forward.
Man, they picked up Derrick Rose, okay? They're getting the band back together.
They're getting the band back together, aren't they? And what band is that?
Oh, Jimmy Butler?
Well, you look at Jimmy Butler, and that's what I'm talking about. You're talking about being unhappy. Reports are coming out that he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to play with Towns and company. And so some turmoil there with the Minnesota Timberwolves. What will the Clippers look like this year? Obviously, I think they're going to take a step back. You're looking at the teams that you've been fighting with. San Antonio.
San Antonio is really interesting because you got to assume Kawhi's not going to be there.
Right. And even if he is there, what is it going to look like there? Pelicans. No DeMarcus Cousins. He's gone. So a lot of turnover. Utah Jazz will be
That's a good young team.
That is a really good team. Oklahoma City, what will they look like? They're going to be improved without Carmelo there now. So they're going to take a step forward probably also. But this is a playoff team, no doubt about it. I mean, it's a playoff team, and they're making the right moves. And you got some young pieces we haven't even talked about, Michael Porter Jr. What's his role going to be? Are they going to redshirt him?
They haven't said that. I think they're going to wait until he's healthy.
They
don't need to declare he's out for the year.
Sure.
If they get to February or something and he's ready to go, they didn't play him. And boy, you add that as an extra piece late in the year if he can be what we think. Wow, I mean, you start looking at all this together, it is shaping well. Stoke, I'm not even joking. I turned on SportsCenter last night. The Nuggets are leading the broadcast. I turned it on this morning. Not only leading the broadcast, the topic are the Nuggets, the surprise team that Golden State needs to look out for in the West.
Oh wow, I'm not ready to go there yet.
What the nation's talking about right now?
It was a slow news night. That's part of it. But you look at the roster. I mean, you had a lot of talent there, and you add a piece like Michael Porter Jr. And what is their plan going to be for him? Is it going to be to take it really slow, which I think it is? But I don't believe they're going to flat out.
I don't think
redshirt
to flat out redshirt a guy.
You know, like we saw with the 76ers doing with a bunch of their guys that they drafted early, and they just flat out.
They were trying to lose though.
They were trying to lose, but they were also with some of those guys just being very cautious.
Right.
And you want to be cautious with this guy because he's had back issues, and you don't want to go into next year, the following year, and have any kind of lingering injuries with him. So you want to take it slow, but I think this is a guy that will take it slow with him, but he will make an impact this year.
Hey, so speaking of injuries, going back with Isaiah Thomas, the hip. So we know he was coming off hip surgery last season, so he missed most of the first part of the season once he was on the Cavs, his new team, kind of dealing all year long with recovering from hip surgery. I saw it here with Wilson Chandler. It just seems like hips are a funny thing to come back from.
Hips,
I know
back.
A guy you played with, Brandon Marshall, had some hip problems.
Rod Smith.
Talk to me about as an athlete your hips and the challenges with dealing with injuries there.
Well, it's like a back. I mean, you know, when these hips, they always when you have surgery on them, it always seems like they linger and they take a little bit longer than expected. But we saw Matt Paradis this past year have the double hips and he was fine. So I think every case is specific to the individual, and hopefully with IT that. There is no lingering effects anymore, and he's back, and we get the best of him.
Oh, I'm not even almost considering that as an option, the best of IT. I'm just hoping he's a good, scoring guy off the bench. The best of IT is a guy you can't take off the floor because he's scoring so many points.
How many points is
this team going to score?
What did you say last night on Twitter?
I said they're going to score like 180.
Yes,
instantly got about 8 replies. Now, they may give up 179.
That's okay. We'll take it.
They may be the most fun team in town to watch this coming season of any sport. When you think about the style they're probably going to play, and they're going to be playing games in the over 100s every single night.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun, but they made another move last night, Stoke. I don't think you're going to be a big fan of it. I want to get your reaction next. Live at the Blake Street Tavern, Park and Blake, just one block north of Coors Field. Come on down, register to win a baseball flyaway to Houston. See the World Series champs play against Colorado August 14th. Trip includes airfare, lodging, tickets to both games. I'm Rod Sheeran, in for Zach By. It's Stokely and Zach. Stoke, we talked about Isaiah Thomas. Not the only thing that the Nuggets did last night. They made a move that you have been not shy about in terms of not being a big fan of. Giving a team a first-round pick to take some bad contracts, since that's what they did. They gave the Nets a top 12 protected first-round pick and a second-round pick the following year in 2020 to take Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur's contract. So now that it's happened, what do you think?
I don't like it. I don't like giving away draft picks. I mean, that's the future of your organization. But when you look at this team and you look at the youth that they have and you look at where they were up against the salary cap and you look at what it was going to cost them, $43 million. What it was going to cost them.
They saved $43 million just in last night's trades. And then if you include the Wilson Chandler trade the previous week, they've saved $90 million.
So it's hard to argue against that. It's really hard to argue against that. I do love my draft picks. And when you're talking about a protected pick that's only protected for the first 12 picks, you know, if we were in that situation this year, we would not have had our first-round pick.
Michael Porter Jr.
Exactly. So very fortunate, I think, to be able to get a guy like that when they did. And at the same time, you look at where they were, where this team is going, and in this situation, very rare situation, it pains me to say it, I'm okay with what they did. I'm okay with what they did because
the
it's a unique
situation. The
fact
they were able to give them both away.
Right.
If it was just free, but the fact they gave them both, they cleared it all. You know, it's so weird because you're giving away this currency, a high draft pick, essentially to get rid of a mistake.
Sure.
It's like the NFL version of cutting a guy. You have a big contract and you got to take the big dead cap hit.
Yeah.
This is what you have to do in this league if you have deals that you want to get out of.
It is what it is. And when you look at the savings that they could get, the only way you could get a team to take these salaries on is by giving them something. And obviously, draft picks are very valuable. And Nuggets are looking at their roster, and they're thinking that, you know, hopefully we'll be picking in the 20s this year. And it won't be as painful as if we're picking, you know, 13, 14,
right,
15, in that type of range.
And they're at that spot, like you mentioned, Stoke. They're a young team. Because these first-round picks, you got to sign them, you know, to three-year deals. I don't know if they want to keep adding them. You know, do you really think they want to have Tyler Lydon around this year?
Well, not him. I mean, but if you make good draft picks, that's what it comes down to. You got to make good picks. And obviously with him, it doesn't look like they made a good pick with him. But you look at Michael Porter Jr., and hopefully that guy turns out to be a really good pick. But what do you do with your draft picks? At the same time, in their situation, I'd never like to give up picks. Never. And they're giving up a second-round pick. Who'd they get in the second round a few years ago?
Guy named Nikola Jokic.
We're in the Jokic era. So, you know, people can say, oh, it's just a second-round pick, but you know, it is what it is. You can find good players all across the draft, in the first round and the second round, and the Nuggets have done it. So I don't like giving away picks. I don't like it. But in this situation, when you're talking about how much money have they saved?
$90 million.
$90 million. And with this move, they potentially saved $43 million with the moves last night. It's hard to argue against
Let me ask you this.
It really is.
If there is an alternative, you didn't have to give Will Barton that deal. Jokic, you kind of did. But Will Barton, you didn't have to give him that deal, and then you wouldn't have been quite as much in the tax, and maybe you wouldn't have been as pressured to make these trades. Do you value the draft pick that much, or was it more important to keep the core of what they've got going together?
That's a question that they had to ask themselves when they were going through this process. How much do we value Will Barton? And obviously they valued him a lot because he was worth giving up a first-round pick, because when they signed him, they knew what they were going to have to do. We're going to have to shed these contracts.
There was no way. Remember you and I talked about that.
Yeah, you called it.
I said there's no way they're going to pay luxury tax on all these guys. They're not going to do it. I mean, teams that are competing for the championship kind of have to, you know, chew through their team. They don't like having to pay that tax.
Sure.
For a team hoping to make the playoffs, that is a really tough pill to swallow.
No, it really is. And so when you look at their situation, they valued Will Barton very highly, and they wanted him to return. And I like the move to go out and re-sign him, but at the same time, you knew what you were going to have to do. We're going to have to give up a draft pick or two to get rid of some of these contracts because we're not paying this luxury tax.
Now, when you do this, you have to put – as you look forward, you got to put yourself in a situation to know that perhaps in 3 years, 4 years, you may not like having that contract like – we just saw with Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur and Wilson Chandler, and you could be in that situation all over again. That's
how far,
the risk
how far, yeah, how far in advance do you start looking? That's the thing. You know, how far
what
advance?
Look, you got a coach in the last year of his deal. You got front office guys that have contracts coming up. They got to make the playoffs, Stoke. They can't. I know they're a young team, so they're thinking the long game. But if they don't make the playoffs again, people are going to lose their jobs. They have to make the playoffs.
That's why they signed Will Barton to the deal that they signed.
And that's why
to.
They signed Isaiah Thomas.
And that's
night.
Why they signed Isaiah Thomas.
I'm Rod Sterling
and
for Zach
Byer.
He's a good player.
And you got him for $2 million. It's not like the Will Barton deal that you, like you said,
right.
That might come back to haunt you in 3 years.
It could. Unless,
like
look,
some of these other
but
contracts.
But they've shown
did.
They're okay with it. This isn't the first time they did it. A few years ago, they gave Philadelphia a first-round pick to take JaVale McGee's contract. And then a week ago, they gave a second-round pick to take Wilson Chandler. And then now they give up a first-round pick to give up Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur. So they've shown they're willing to do it. And this is part of the problem, I think, why casual fans prefer the NFL so much, because you can rebuild easier. You can get out of a bad deal easier than you can in the NBA. And that's part of the world of guaranteed contracts. Of you're locked
you gotta
in.
You got to be a lot more careful.
You got to be
when you're in baseball and you're in the NBA, when you're given these guaranteed contracts, you got to be more careful and more sure, because if not, you're like you said, you're stuck with JaVale McGee, you're stuck with Chandler, you're stuck with Faried and Arthur and those types of deals, where now what do you have to do? You have to give up a great asset in your mm-hmm. draft picks, where a guy that's right. making not a lot of money and is the foundation of your team hopefully the next 3 or 4 years, you have to give that pick up to take some of these bad contracts, because You didn't sign the guy that you should have signed. And you gave him too much money.
At the time, you didn't want to lose him. Just like now, you didn't want to lose Will Barton.
Well, what would you say now? What would you say now to the Will Barton deal? Right now, as we sit today,
I'm
would
glad
you say,
they have Will Barton still.
You are.
But I was glad they re-signed Wilson Chandler when they did. I was glad they re-signed Gallinari when they did. Kenneth Faried when they did. Darrell Arthur, when you're glad you keep these guys, but again, the long game. I'll give you one they did last year, Mason Plumlee. I'm sure at the time they didn't want to lose Mason Plumlee. They had just traded for him, and now he's got it's not a huge deal, but it's enough that a year from now, 2 years from now, you might just be sitting there like, here we go. Are we going to be in the same spot where they're giving away draft picks? Hey, will you please take Mason Plumlee?
Probably so.
Please take Barton. Is that the pattern we're in? And are you okay with that as long as you keep your core together? That being Jokic.
You
Gary
can't
Harris
keep going down that road. You got to have draft picks. I mean, that's where you drafted right. all these guys.
Yeah.
And so it's a fine line. It's a fine line. When you decide to re-sign guys, you got to make sure. Because it's not like the NFL. You can't just get rid of these guys and not suffer the consequences. You have to get rid of these guys, you have to give up draft picks.
Hey, we talked a lot about the money. The guys themselves that are leaving. Now, look, Darrell Arthur, with injury stuff, he hasn't played a lot recently. But Kenneth Faried, that has been
You were happy to see him go.
I was. But, I mean, that's a very – it's been a controversial name over the last few years. I mean, he's a guy that was a big part of the 57-win season. I know there was a lot of kids who wore Faried T-shirts and loved going to the games and cheering for the Manimal. But at the same time, Stoke, is this a case where maybe both parties are better off going in other directions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. If you're Faried, you need a fresh start. Nuggets need a fresh start. I mean, it just wasn't working anymore. So It's best for both parties. Hopefully he does good with his fresh start. And obviously the Nuggets are happy that he's gone.
And they shed that payroll. So who's having the best summer so far in Denver? Well, besides Carson. But who else is having the best summer here in Denver? We'll talk about that next. I'm Rod Sharon in for Zach Byatt. Stokely and Zach were at the Blake Street Tavern. Rock's getting set to take on the Mariners tonight. So, Stoke, it's the summer of what? Here in Denver. Who's winning this summer? Let's start with the Nuggets. We've been talking about them. So it begins with drafting Michael Porter Jr. Last night, you sign Isaiah Thomas. You've already re-signed Nikola Jokic and Will Barton. Dunked some contracts. Kenneth Faried, Darrell Arthur, Wilson Chandler. That's their summer. Getting rave reviews for what
really,
they've
done. Really good moves.
Really good moves. But let's look at the Broncos. I'm not even joking. I am saying this like dead serious. The number one thing I've got going for them this summer, no arrests.
That is a good thing.
Because you got to watch for that this time of year in the NFL.
That
you
is
do.
A very positive thing.
No
under
arrests.
The radar.
Under the radar.
Positive.
All their draft picks are already signed, so that's done. No injuries during OTAs and minicamp. You got Case Keenum doing some kind of a passing camp at Regis with Emmanuel. And we got DBU down in Texas with Chris Harris and Roby and Brendan Langley and Will Parks all getting in work.
I mean, everything is
I keep
going.
Waiting for Will Parks to walk in here. Will Parks is everywhere.
He is. He's everywhere. He does it all. He's always out in the community doing a lot.
He's
all over the place. But Broncos, once again, yes, everything
having
going like
summer.
In the right.
I
mean,
having
a great summer. Like
summer.
You said, the no injuries.
No
remember
injuries,
last
no
year,
rest.
Heading into training camp, Shaq Barrett was mm-hmm. had the hip, and then first day of training camp, you know, Shane Ray is gone. So having no injuries, you're getting good practice time out there. You see Case Keenum and company. You see Chris Harris and company doing work. So I like everything.
Positive vibes.
All positive. All positive.
Positive. But then we've got the Rockies, 7-3 in their last 10. They're now back 3 games over 500, just 3 back in the division. They finally get over that D-backs hurdle the last couple games, including 19-2 shellacking on Wednesday and then 5-1 last night. And best of all, Brian Shaw, healthy, back off the DL.
I don't know if that's a positive or not, Raj. But I'm going to say it is a positive. And I think he did have an outing in there where he did get some work, I believe, and did well with it. I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, I was out of town for a couple days. But they've had some good performances. I thought he did get some work in. But hopefully it is a positive. Hopefully it will be a positive for him coming back because they need another arm in that bullpen. They need another arm. And if Ryan Shaw can get back going to the guy that they thought he was going to be when they signed him to that nice mm-hmm. contract, then – now you got something
right.
that
he got an inning on Wednesday.
Yeah, and he didn't
just
give
one
up.
Walk, no runs.
Right, which is all you need. And the bullpen's been really good. And obviously, that to go back to back at home and get those last two against the Diamondbacks was big after dropping that first one. And they're right there. They're right there with 3 games left before the All-Star break, and they got a lot of momentum. They got to feel good about themselves. Starting pitching's been doing well. Bullpen's been doing their job, and the bats have been hot. So. Look, you got to love where the Rockies are right now. My winner. So am I going to pick?
Yeah, you got to pick. Who's winning the summer so far?
A lot of winners.
They're all winners.
They're all winners.
Winning.
They're not all winners. We're not giving orange slices to everybody, Raj. Not on this show. Okay, you know, the Khaki Panthers probably would. The Drive.
No participation trophies
the Drive,
on this show.
D-Mac probably would, but not on this show. Not on this show. We're only giving one winner here. And it's the only team playing. Meaningful games, Raj.
You're giving it to the Rockies.
Count. Absolutely. It's the Rockies. They're playing games that count. They fought their way. They were 7.5, 8.5 back about 3-4 weeks ago, and now they're 2.5 back. They fought their way back into this thing, and they're playing really great baseball at the right time. And my winner right now is the Rockies. They got me interested. I was ready to dump the Rockies a few weeks ago with the way they were playing.
You were writing them off, though.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look like they wanted to be playing. They didn't look like it meant something to them. And then all of a sudden, they got it figured out, man. And I love the way they're playing. I love their mindset, their mentality. You can tell they have the confidence now that they didn't have a few weeks ago. So my big winner right now is the Rockies because of what they've done to get themselves back into meaningful baseball games after the All-Star break.
Do you think it's sustainable? You think, like, they're back? You know, before the year, you know, we had high hopes. Playoff team a year ago, make some additions to the bullpen. You know, we're talking, is this finally the year they're going to win the division?
Right.
And then they start falling off a cliff, and everybody's jumping off now. They're winning. Is it sustainable? Are they back to – I guess I'm trying to ask you, what do you think they are at the end of the day? If you were to average out the highs and the lows, what are they?
I think they're more of the team that we've been seeing.
The good team.
Yeah, the team that, you know, has been on the streak the last few weeks. And the team that we thought we would see more consistently early in the year, I think that's who they're going to be after the All-Star break, because look, there's too many good players. The bullpen's too good. They got too many good arms. Starting pitching's too good, and they just couldn't figure it out early in the season. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. But now I think they, you know, got things figured out. And sometimes it takes a while. You know, there was high expectations. Maybe they felt the pressure early in the season. They weren't living up to it. Maybe guys were pressing a little bit too much, and now they look like they're playing more relaxed. They're out there having fun, and they're winning ball games, and it just looks like a totally different team. So mm-hmm. I think we'll see more of that team than we saw than the team that we saw earlier in the season.
Well, if you can sustain it, if you give me a choice, slow start, fast finish, or fast start, slow finish, I'm definitely rather finish strong. I mean, that's just kind of how this works. But I got to be honest, Doka, and I look, you can't go wrong with any of the choices. But I keep looking back at the Broncos with the no arrests and the no injuries and thinking,
that's big.
This is what they need. They need a nice, clean slate heading into training camp. No quarterback competition hovering over their head.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with that. You've got a guy now. You've got your guy heading into training camp who's doing these passing camps at Regis. So you don't have to worry about that. You're injury-free. I know Shane Ray's dealing with the hamstring, but it sounds like it's the wrist is maybe better than initially we thought. And quite frankly, with all the moves they made, we're counting on Shane Ray maybe as much with Bradley Chubb and obviously Shaq.
It ended up being good news because the news when first reported
we're
was
like, well, he might be out for half the year.
Right.
Year,
what
whatever.
Do you do with him?
And now
do
it's
you...
like he could be back week two, maybe.
Right. Week maybe
three,
week one. Maybe I mean, who one. Knows? I mean, I think they should take it slow with him. But
right.
You're right. A lot of great news for the Broncos. So you're picking the Broncos.
I think I'm leaning that way. And I keep looking at the arrest one, and it's nothing particular against the guys on the Broncos. It's just in the NFL. We see this time of year. The LeSean McCoy thing, these things just pop up when these guys get long periods of time.
The bad news
to do whatever.
Is they still have time.
They still have time.
You know, they what day is it right now? So we still have 15 days?
Yeah.
15 days.
Weeks.
Still got
about
2 weeks.
Weeks.
So hopefully they can continue it.
Do players go for like one big blowout right before they go back to camp? You know, just like, man, we're going to go on one big crazy trip or crazy adventure or something like that before we start. Because once we start, we're in it. Do you guys do that?
I guess it depends on the guy. I never did that.
You know what I mean? You and Tammy and Peyton and Dallas weren't just like going and just blowing
let's
it up.
Let's go down to South Beach for the weekend. let's go to Vegas for a big weekend. No, we never did that. I think most guys, what they do is – you know, they just want to take 2 or 3 days off and just relax and just spend it with their family. More downtime than more like, hey, let's go, you know, have one big bang here and blow it out for 2 or 3 days. I think if you're going to do it now. And then so you can kind of recover and get yourself going back before training camp. And then you can take a couple days before camp, rest the legs up, hydrate up, maybe come back. You want to come to town, especially when you play for the Broncos. Get used to the altitude. And get your body ready to go. So that's a time that you really, if you're smart about it, is a time to hydrate up and make sure your body's feeling good and make sure you're ready to go for training camp. Now's the time if you want to take 2 or 3 days and have a little bit of fun. That's the time to do it is right now where you got a couple weeks to recover.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I'm feeling good about it, and I'm Rod Sharon in for Zach Bye, Stokely and Zach. The question I asked is who's kind of winning the summer here in Denver because it just seems like the news is so positive for the Nuggets, for the Rockies, and for the Broncos so far. Hey, look, you mentioned it, and I get it, it's the trump card. The Rockies, it's actual games. The Nuggets, it's right. Moves on paper. The Broncos, it's moves on paper. The Rockies are out there winning actual games. I guess my thing I come back to is, boy, we talked about a few seconds ago, there's 2 more weeks for Bronco players to keep out of trouble. There's a long stretch of season left for the Rockies to still fall off a cliff, or any team. It's baseball. There's a million games. But I keep going back to the sustainability about it. If the bullpen can get right, and I know it's a big if, and maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's adding an arm. I don't know. But if they can get right, boy, the signs look really optimistic, Stoke. They're winning different types of ways, too.
They are.
It's not just the same way every night.
And you look at what the bullpen's been doing here recently, and you look at what the team's been doing here recently, and you say, well, what's going to happen when they get close to the trade deadline? They're going to have to go out there and be buyers. They're going to have to go out there and be aggressive and either try to add an arm to the bullpen or another bat. So they're going to have to they're going to force the hand of the organization to get out there and be aggressive and go try to get this thing done. You never won the West. Never won it.
Isn't
and you
that
got a great,
they've
got a great
been
opportunity.
To the World Series. They've been to the play. They've never won this division.
You got a great opportunity. I mean, the West is jam-packed. I mean,
the Dodgers aren't the mighty Dodgers.
Dodgers just took over.
I know they're in first, but they're not the mighty Dodgers.
No, exactly. Yeah. They struggled early in the season. They got things going, and Diamondbacks, obviously, early in the season
if,
were
if they've gotten past
out.
This by winning 2 of the last 3 against – if they've gotten past it, and now it's a little bit more of an even playing for Arizona, that's huge. Because that's just been killing them. When you can't beat a team in front of you in the standings, how are you ever going to jump them?
That's
you
right.
You can't do it.
No, you can't.
You can't do it if you can't beat them. Especially late in the year because you're going to play these guys in the division more. Once you get to September, it's like practically all you play.
And it becomes a mind game. You just can't get over that hump. And now hopefully they figured it out by winning those last two.
Did you guys have that in your career anywhere you were, Stoke? Like a team that just always seemed to kind of have your number and then maybe you finally beat them?
The Patriots.
Oh,
the Patriots,
yeah.
with
on your Colts teams,
with,
right?
With Indy, and we were finally able to get over the top there in the AFC Championship game and won that Super Bowl, and big come from behind against Brady and Belichick. So that was the team for us in Indy, was we just could never get over the Patriots in the playoffs, and we were finally able to do that.
And then once they did,
we had mind control over a few teams.
Right, the Broncos
The
one that comes to my mind. The Broncos during that time. It was like a three-way thing. The Broncos always seemed to beat the Patriots. The Patriots always beat the Colts, and the Colts always beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
They were kind of the three AFC teams there, it seemed like, for a little while. But the reason I ask is because I kind of remembered after the Colts kind of finally got over the hump and beat the Patriots, and then suddenly Peyton was beating Tom almost every time they play. Could we get to a point now where the Rockies have just kind of finally gotten over this hump with the Diamondbacks, and now you're in a prime position to jump them?
Well, we're fixing to find out, just like Gary Kubiak said, because they're going to be playing them right after the All-Star break. So we'll see. But obviously, any time that you can finally, you know, beat that team, and then you do it in back-to-back days, that's a confidence builder, because you just – if you lose as many times as they lost to them, especially at home, was it 9 in a row?
Yeah, 9 in a row. At
all of a sudden, it becomes one of those just mental.
What do we got to do to beat these guys?
Hurdles that, you just like, we just can't beat them. For whatever we do, it doesn't matter. We just can't figure it out and beat this team. But now it's a different mindset heading into their series that they will be having against the Diamondbacks after the All-Star break, and we'll see if it continues. But hopefully, it continues. Sometimes all it does is take that one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got this. We got it figured out.
You're pulling me more to the Rockies in this, Stoke. I was on the Broncos. The question, who's winning the summer in Denver? Is it the Nuggets, the Broncos, the Rockies?
We're not throwing orange slices to everybody, but the Nuggets, I mean.
We're ignoring the Nuggets.
Any team that saved themselves
$90 million.
$90 million.
Stan Kroenke had a great night last night.
Stan and Josh, I mean, they are winning.
Night.
If that was my money, here's a first-round pick. I don't really care. I don't want to. You're saving me 40-something. And then overall, after the last couple weeks, it's 90
million.
I mean,
1-1.
That's
and
winning.
2-2s.
That's winning.
Mm-hmm.
That's winning, right? So they're having themselves a really good summer, also. And you look at the additions that they added,
Isaiah Thomas and Michael Porter Jr.
of the contracts that they got locked up. You got Jokic now locked up. You don't have to worry about him. And if you want to build around him, he's under contract for the next 5 years or so.
Yeah.
So really, really good summer for them. I mean, that 90 million might push me towards the Nuggets.
You're going all over the place, and it's telling that, you know, we're talking about how well all three of these teams have been doing this.
That's
summer.
A lot of cash, Rosh. It's a lot of
it
cash.
It is a lot of cash. And look, the Nuggets have not been in the luxury tax since Carmelo. Okay, they were in the luxury tax pretty consistently, as were a lot of teams, during most of the Carmelo era, because they were paying Kenyon Martin a ton of money. They were paying Marcus Camby a ton of money. They were paying Allen Iverson a ton of money. They had some names. They certainly had some names. And one thing I had always heard was a big impetus for the trade that brought Chauncey back here was really to get him under the tax. That trade of Detroit taking Iverson's contract got the Nuggets under the tax. Well, what happened? The Nuggets got better. They started winning their Western Conference Finals, and the Nuggets haven't been in the luxury tax since. So if that tells you anything, and look, I get it.
I don't know if I would.
I don't know if I'd want to pay. I mean, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I think I'm okay paying the luxury tax.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
A team hoping to make the playoffs.
I'm not paying the luxury tax. You got to show me. Show me something.
Before I approve. Especially who it's for. Now, if Tim Connelly and company go to ownership and say, look, LeBron's willing to come, but we got to go into the tax,
that's a great point.
Different conversation.
That's a great point. I wish Zach would make good points like that. He just never brings those kind of points. That's a great point.
But if it's we need to go in the tax because I overpaid Fareed and Chandler a couple of years ago.
Not worth it.
That's a different conversation.
You're exactly right. If it's for a player that is going to take you to the next level, possibly.
Right.
And
or if you already feel like you're great and this guy can be the cherry on top, which I think was why they were okay being in the tax back in the day, because they thought, hey, Iverson's going to be the piece to put us over. Okay,
let's go for it. Absolutely, you go for it. But when you're in the situation that they've been in, where you're fighting for the eighth seed, when you're fighting for a playoff, when you're right on the bubble, I'm not paying $90 million
for
Reed,
tax,
Chandler, and Arthur.
If they don't get rid of Mello, which they're going to, their tax bill is like almost $300 million.
Yeah. He's gone. He's already looking at teams. I know you're disappointed. I'm glad he's not coming back to Denver, and you're so sad. You got the big frown on your face. Melo is never coming back to Denver, Raj. You just got to let it go.
He'll be back here for the jersey retirement.
You got to let it go.
Don't worry, okay?
You got your Melos on today. Are those comfortable?
Actually, they're very comfortable.
They are. They look nice. They look nice. No scuffs and everything. Those are the classics.
Yeah. Try to keep, you know, keep good care of my stuff.
Looks good. Looks good. Those got to be classics.
So, you know, it's funny you were talking about the tax thing, because it's interesting in that if I'm a fan, do I care? Like, should I care if I'm a fan that Josh and Stan Kroenke saved $90 million bucks last time?
No, you don't care.
Like, it doesn't really affect
your money.
The win and loss. I mean, it can if the GM, it forces the GM to make moves, but at the end of the day, it's just really money out of his pocket. I mean, I think back to the best example is Oklahoma City and how they've changed. Now they have this huge tax bill. Back in the day, they traded James Harden because they were like, we can't resign him. We'll go into the tax.
Yeah, big mistake.
They deal James Harden, and then Kevin Durant sees that, and he's like, well, they're not going to go in the tax. I'm going to leave too.
Fans don't care. They want you to spend your money. You know, $90 million, luxury tax bill, who cares? You're a billionaire. You can afford it. But I think it's a smart move. It's a right move in this situation where the Nuggets are. You've gotten better, and you shed some contracts, and maybe shed a guy or two that – wasn't very good in the locker room for some of these young guys. So you know what? Now we have to pony up. And, you know, if this guy was great veteran presence and would provide a little bit on the court for us, okay, we'll pay the tax bill. But we got a young group. We don't want any bad influences around them. And if that's Fareed and he's got to go, then you know what? He's got to go. Here's a first-round pick, and plus we save $90
million. When I look at a team's payroll, it just sometimes it looks right and sometimes it doesn't. And by that, I mean, Stoke, when you know, and you can just Google it and look at any team. When you start to see the best players on the team be the highest paid ones, like, that just makes sense. And when you looked at this payroll, it now kind of makes sense. It's more shaped. But when it was Kenneth Fareed at the top and Wilson
and he's
Chandler.
Not playing at all?
It just looks
he's
off.
He's riding the bench?
It
doesn't
just
make
looks
sense.
Off.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But the way it's structured now, moving forward, I think they got hopefully their house in order.
And that's the point I'm getting at.
Yes, so. And they got everything in order. And moving forward, the future's bright, man.
So have you gone down to the Nuggets if we won this over? You've already been on each team.
And I said we weren't giving out orange slices
to
everybody.
We might need to give orange slices
to everybody. We are.
That's exactly
we're going to be like the other shows and just pat everybody on the back and give everybody a high five.
I'm Raj.
Good job.
In for Zach.
They've all been great, Raj. They've all been great.
It's Stokely and
How
Zach.
How many Twitter followers have you lost?
I didn't lose that many. Okay, so here's the background on this story, okay? There was a Twitter purge that occurred. Zach Bias, like, all over the story. He, like, called me, like, super excited.
Oh,
did you hear about the Twitter purge?
I heard him this morning on with
Troy. Oh, yeah, he and Troy on Slayer
the Nevins. He tried to call me out.
So Twitter went through last night, or I think it was last night, and started, like, deleting fake accounts and bot accounts and that sort of thing, and accounts that people have paid for. And you're seeing people, I think it was like Ashton Kutcher lost over like a million followers last night.
Ray Lewis lost a ton of followers.
Your former teammate.
Yes.
Did you lose any followers?
I don't know where I was at. No, I didn't have that many to begin with.
I didn't have that many. So I looked, I'm like, this is around where mine normally are. So
yeah, I didn't
have the bots. But
I don't
it
think
is
I
funny
lost
to see people had like 70,000 followers, and now it's at like 10.
Yep. I mean, some people have lost hundreds of thousands of followers. But it's just kind of funny to watch how it goes. But when you look at followers, that's how a lot of marketing agreements and people that pay you to advertise for their business, that's what they look at. That's what they look
like. How many followers?
How many
followers? It's great marketing. If I have a product or a service
and you have
that fits
500,000 followers,
I can directly communicate with them.
And you have 500,000 followers, that's a big deal to marketers and to companies that are looking to advertise. And so I could see why people would you know, if that was presented. I just joined Twitter a couple years ago, and so, you know, I didn't know anything about it, but you could see why it was enticing to people that are looking to get money to advertise products. And somebody says, you pay us $100 and you can get 100,000 followers.
Get this story. This was from, I think, about a month ago. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
The Rock.
He's got just under 13 million Twitter followers. He makes this, he writes into the contract before a movie that the studio has to compensate him additionally to promote it on his Twitter. It's $1 million to get him to send a tweet about his own movie.
Right. How many followers?
13 million.
Wow. I mean, that's a big deal, right?
It's $1 million to get him to tweet, like, come see Skyscraper. It's going to be awesome.
His movie.
His own movie.
That he's supposed to promote.
Right.
And because it's going to only help his career if it does well at the box office.
It's written, you want him to do your movie? It's a million bucks for me to promote it on my Twitter.
Wow. I mean, that's smart business.
And it shows how important this is, like you're talking about.
Very, very important for companies.
I'm glad you didn't get hit hard by the purge.
Yeah, me too.
I heard DMAC hit it. I don't know how many, but I heard DMAC got
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember what he was at before, so I want to talk to him to see how many he wound up losing.
Wow.
But everybody's down. Oprah's down like 1.3 million.
Oh, really? Wow.
And everybody.
I was out of the loop a little bit the last couple of days, and so I didn't really realize it. I knew that it wouldn't.
Oh, just ask Zach Bibe. He's like an encyclopedia. Oh, he'll just name you everybody and how many they lost.
I knew it wouldn't affect me. And so, but I was listening to Zach and Troy this morning. It was a good show, and they were talking about it, and it kind of got me interested to see who got hit the most by this.
Oprah's down 1.4 million. Ellen DeGeneres lost 2 million.
But how many does she have?
Would
she go from 10
million
to 8? Okay. Right. So it doesn't matter to her. Wow. That's a lot.
Shaq lost 1 million. So some people got hit. No, I didn't get hit. I didn't get hit with the Twitter purge.
I wonder what DMAC got hit with.
I know. We'll find out. We'll try to get some info from DMAC. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Saw a couple texts come in because we were asking who's winning the summer here in Denver, and my Broncos point was no arrest. They're like, well, Adam Gatsis is still hanging over the head. Well, no charges yet. Here we are, still no charges. And
it's something that is a little bit scary if you're the Broncos, because how do you proceed with it? You know, at any moment, he could be indicted, and he could have to go to trial. So we'll see how the thing plays out for him and the Broncos. But obviously, they're taking the approach that they're letting him participate in all activities. And so they must be pretty confident in his innocence. Wouldn't you say that?
He was out there with the first team defense, like all of OTAs. Like nothing was wrong. Just lining up. I mean, I've seen before covering training camps.
Oh, they're expecting
him
to be a big
part
of the
team this
year.
When you think a guy might be suspended, he's out there a little bit, but maybe not with the ones.
Right.
Like they're just kind of planning. They are expecting him to be there.
They are, and so that's the one thing that you're right now is kind of a dark cloud hanging over the Broncos. There's not many of them. There's not many of those because, like you said, no injuries. All your players are under contract. The Shane Ray wrist injury that he had is a lot better than what we originally thought. And you got everybody under contract. Bradley Chubb is not holding out. Moving forward, you got your quarterback. You got your offensive coordinator. Joe Woods and Vance Joseph going in their second year now. You got to love where the Broncos are right now and where they're heading into training camp. Almost as good as could be expected when you looked at where they were 6 months ago and you said, heading into training camp, where would you like to be? It's hard to beat this situation.
Well, and their new quarterback is fired up. I think it's going to fire up Broncos country as well. That's next.